It was wonderful. Thank you. God's word from the scripture comes today from Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 3 through 11. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to this thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Thus ends the words of the Lord.
I'm going to expect that applause at the end of the sermon that Zach got for singing. I'm just kidding. I'm really kidding. Really, really kidding. So, most people know about the Ten Commandments. Even if a person has never opened a Bible, there's a great possibility that she has heard of the Ten Commandments. The movie, The Ten Commandments, has been on TV for a very, very long time. And there is the issue in the part of the country from which I come, where city halls, county halls, and state capitals come under battle over the Ten Commandments being placed on the lawn of the building or inside the building itself. There are people that say all we have to do is get back to living out the Ten Commandments and all will be right with the world, the country, the universe, and of course the church. If we stop and think for just a second, we can recall the importance that's been placed on the Ten Commandments. I mean real importance. If the Ten Commandments are not placed somewhere prominently in our homes, our towns, our churches, then some would say we aren't really Christian. The Ten Commandments in some places has become the measuring stick of whether one is right with God, worthy to be part of a church, and most importantly to us, worthy to be a Christian. So it's no wonder that some of us, me included, run when we see a sermon on the Ten Commandments. First of all, there are Ten Commandments that we focus on, and they're in different places in the Old Testament. By the way, there's not just one set of Ten Commandments. And on top of that, there are many, many, many more commandments that God gave that we just tend to forget. And secondly, usually a sermon on the Ten Commandments can make us feel as if we are wrong every minute of every day. Or maybe it's just me. And thirdly, sometimes sermons on the Ten Commandments can be filled with a little fire and brimstone and hell and damnation. These are just a couple of the reasons that some of us run from sermons on the Ten Commandments. I wanted to run. I even told Jim, our music director, once I saw that the narrative lectionary text were for these next several weeks, hey, we will go back to the Revised Common Lectionary for the summer, not doing the Ten Commandments. But something kept calling me back. What is it about these Ten Commandments out of the hundreds of commandments in the Bible that have people declaring something holy if they are posted in a building and declaring something unholy if they are not posted? Ten commandments that begin with God. Right before what Sandy read, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Jesus knew this commandment, for he tells us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or your mind. This is the ultimate commandment. There are no other gods but God. It's also pretty straightforward. Nothing, not even the Ten Commandments, are to be worshipped. Only God. Then that must mean that we cannot have idols. God says that God is God, and since that is true, there can be nothing else that we worship or love more than God. Remember, it is God who brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is God who redeemed us. How then would it be possible for us to place something other than God at the center of our existence? For remember, our God is a jealous God. Whatever form our idolatry takes, it brings judgment from God. Not judgment that we really wanted to hear in that text, right? So let's hear it a different way. Whenever we choose a lifeless idol to worship, a lifeless idol, we are placed in the hands of a lifeless object, money, material items, instead of the life-giving hands of God. God should live so much at the center of our existence that God has trusted us with God's name, the divine name. We know God's name. It is ours to use, to call to God, to claim God, and boy, oh boy, using God's name is pretty serious business. We are not to make wrongful use of God's name. We all know that it isn't proper to say certain curse words that contain God's name, right? That would be a wrongful use of God's name. So we teach our children not to curse or teach them not to listen to us, especially to use a couple of curse words that contain God's name. We even tell our children not to use Jesus' name in a cursing way too. So I think we're all pretty good on this commandment. But just as soon as I want to take a breath and relax on that commandment, I can't help but go back to, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. There has to be something a little more to the wrongful use of God's name than just cursing. God has entrusted us with God's name. We are God's people. God has claimed us and has given us hundreds of commandments by which we should live. And in this particular list of commandments, right near the top, we have no wrongful use of my name. No wrongful use. Cursing can fall under this, but it is so much more than cursing. Could it be that claiming God's name and not loving our neighbor could be a wrongful use of God's name? Could it be using God's name and spouting hate at a group of people could be a wrongful use of God's name? Could it be that using God's name to oppress others, remember God brought us out of slavery, using God's name to harm others, to wage war, could it be a wrongful use of the name of the one who saved us from bondage and claimed us? Could it be a wrongful use of the name of the one who is our God? No other idols, no idols, not even ourselves. Do we really understand the seriousness of using God's name? Well, in case we need a little more time to contemplate how we use God's name and whether we really live out God's love in the world while using God's name, God gave us the time. It's true. If we acknowledge that God is God and we are to have no other idols or gods and we've been given the divine name, and since we really need to think about what we are proclaiming in this world using God's name, God has given us a day on which to do that. The Sabbath day. A day that we keep holy. For 6 days we work. We work hard from sun up to sundown. And many people in this room work beyond sundown and long before the sun comes up. 6 days, but one day a week. One day we are not supposed to work. We're not supposed to run errands, go to the grocery store, hair salon, nothing. We're not supposed to return emails or check phone messages. One day. Remember, Pharaoh made us work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Our God doesn't do that. In fact, God is going to take it several steps further. Our sons are not supposed to work. Our daughters are not supposed to work. Our employees, male and female, are not supposed to work. We're not even supposed to allow our livestock to haul water or plow fields or pull a buggy. In fact, this day that we take off from work is even applied to the alien residents in our towns. It is a day of rest and justice for all. A day to spend at rest, as even the Lord our God took a day of rest. Whew, wow. There's a lot in these first few commandments, and there's a lot more to go, isn't there? Only one God. We have the choice of choosing lifeless objects or choosing the life-giving hands of God. We have a God who trusts us to claim God's name. We use God's name, but if we use God's name to harm, or we claim we are God's people and then we harm others, then that is wrongful use of the name of the one who has saved us and given us life, and we've got a day to think about that. And this is all big, holy, scary, life or death kind of stuff. God asks us to take one day a week and offer justice to all who work, that all may rest, even the aliens, even the people who are not like us, people we don't like, even the animals, everyone and everything, and spend time reminding us of the beginning that God is God. It's almost like a big loop. I was telling Brian last night that once a week we return to the heart of who God is and return God to our hearts, which then leads us to use God's name in life-giving ways to an already hurting and very violent world. As you know, this past week I was on holy ground at our church camp in Newton, Iowa. I counseled Cairo Camp 8. We didn't have numbers down in Texas. The numbers kind of confused me. But it was Cairo Camp 8, which is for youth who've just finished 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, middle school kids. Love them. The camp for the Cairo kids is rustic, to say the least. It's not the tents, I know. For those of you that went, we now have huts that are literally like chicken coops. I kid you not. No electricity. You live in villages. There's a hut for a girl, for the girls, and hut for the boys. We cook our meals in our villages over an open fire that we have to build ourselves, that you teach middle school kids how to build. We wash our dishes in pails of water that we have to haul from another location of said pails because there's no water in the villages, and you have to heat that water over the open fire because to wash the dishes, right? In our village, we had two co-counselors, I was one of them, who had never counseled at this particular camp and who had never met each other until we arrived. And then we threw 12 middle school youth in who, for the most part, did not know each other, and many who had never been rustic camping before, much less camping, much less slept outside. Sounds like a recipe for disaster, doesn't it? Oh, and the first night, as some of you know, the first night that the campers were there, we had what we're calling a tornado storm hit the camp with 75 to 80 mile per hour winds, drenching the girls in my hut as the hut is shaking. It was bad enough that I thought at one point, this is it. The amazing thing is, no one complained. Not one single kid asked to go home the next morning after this storm that came through, drenched our bedding, drenched all our clothing. The huts, they have slats. It's wooden slats, so there's gaps. We had standing water in our hut. That's how bad it was. I don't know how you have it when you have slats, but we had standing water. But not a kid complained. Not a kid said, I want to go home. And if I was that age, I would have been, put me on a plane, put me on whatever, I'm going home. I believe in part that there was this unusual spirit in the camp because of the way that Cairo 8 opens the camp. There is this Cairo pledge. Those of you that went to Cairo camp, if I'd never heard of it before. They don't do it in Texas, but it goes like this. If you know it, say it with me. With the help of Jesus and to the best of my abilities, I will love and honor God, love and serve others, and love and respect myself. Every day, many times a day, the youth said this pledge with gusto, and they believed this is the way we're supposed to live. It made it an incredible week filled with incredible youth. They taught us the importance of remembering that God is God, especially in the midst of a tornado storm, and the importance of spending time clearing out all of the other idols that we place where only our jealous God should be. Living life with only what we really needed. The Cairo Pledge captures the first few commandments that we've covered today with love and honor God. If we did not start with God at the center of that camp, if we did not tune in to God, believe me, it would have been a different story for the week. But we started with remembering to choose the life-giving hands of God, and then we learned how to live in community. I can't wait to tell you how we learned to live within community with each other, but that falls under the rest of the Ten Commandments. For now, this is our Sabbath. Let us do what is required to place God in the center of our lives. Let us do what's required to tune into the love of God. Let us choose the life-giving hands of God, removing anything and everything that keeps us from loving God and sharing that love with all of God's creation. Let us remember what Jesus taught us, to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Thanks be to God for claiming us and loving us.